Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
Trade Mornings for Toyota. Receive added value when you trade in your car for a Toyota certified pre-owned vehicle. And for Host Plus. Proud supporters of Trade Radio. Host Plus, the official superannuation partner of the AFL.
Well, good morning to you and welcome to Trade Radio. Great to have your company. Nick Del Santo here joining you. I hope you had a great long weekend and made the most of what was a very difficult grand final experience. And for those D supporters out there, a huge congratulations on what has been an incredible, incredible football season and what a performance it was on Saturday night. We'll be talking and discussing all that action from the weekend's game in Perth shortly. Thanks to Cornsey and Mitch who opened the batting for us here on Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. We have a massive show coming up as we cover off all the latest trade news and the whispers, starting to look through the list management of all the 18 clubs. And we have some incredible guests this morning as we touch base with the D's legend and now father of a premiership star in Todd Viney. We've got Sammy Edmund who'll come and join us, give us all the inside word from all the things happening in the trade world. We get to speak to Hamish Hartlett as well after he was recently let go by Port Adelaide. The lines are always open, and that's thanks to Kogan Mobiles. We want to hear from you. The number is 1300 23 55 48 if you want to call us or text us on 0419 187 323. It's been a good start to the morning, and it's only going to get better from here. I'll be sitting in this seat for the next fortnight, and I'll be joined each and every morning by a good mate of mine, a man that played 334 games. Most of them were good for the Saints and the Dons. He's been involved in this time of year as well, while he changed football clubs. Good morning to Brendan Goddard.
Tal, how are we?
Beach, I'm very good. Excuse me. Bit rusky.
Yeah, a bit rusky. No, I'm all right. No, sleeping well. I'm shacked up with the parents-in-law, unfortunately.
Why are you in the parents-in-law's place, first of all, before we start talking football and trade?
It was a bit of a COVID situation with our eldest daughter at a daycare, so I escaped and we went through all the protocols.
So you're clear?
Clear.
You've
nothing,
ticked off all the protocols at this point,
any
please?
Listeners out there doing everything by the book. At the in-laws until early, until Thursday, actually.
We seem to say this a lot, and rightly so, for probably the last 18 to 24 months, but it's nice to see you in person. I haven't seen you for quite a while, even though we only live around the corner. But I reckon in the next 13 to 14 days, as we cover off doing this particular role between 9 and 12 in the morning for the trade mornings, this could quite possibly be the most amount of time we've spent together since living together about 15 or 20 years ago.
No, that it's not possibly. I think it will be. So
is that a good thing?
Now we're fine. We know our ins and outs of each other, don't we? So we know where to avoid each other. But 3 hours, I'm sure you can put up with me for 3 hours
just
each day.
So. What can we expect from you? And what are you expecting from the next 13 or so days in regards to trades? And you've lived it, you've been there, you're still involved in football clubs.
Essentially, being the free agent, make your move. But what I think generally what happens is there's a lot of chatter, which is good because we all love it, I think, as footy fans. And the hypotheticals and the if, buts and maybes around players and how your team can get better and who they're going to get and who that, the wish list of, there'll be names thrown around of stars that potentially could go elsewhere. But the reality is that not a lot of deals or there's not a lot of player movement in regards to or in relation to how much gets discussed.
Yeah.
Is there. So, and we've seen that, in the build up to trade week in the last couple of weeks, guys that names are being floated around. Potentially staying that are gettable, that want to move for more opportunity. And as we've seen the last probably 3 or 4 days, there's a number of guys that are now re-sign with their current clubs to stay and show some loyalty and all that kind of thing. So there's actually as much as we talk about it for the next 2.5 weeks and a lot of names get thrown around, there's actually, at the end of the day, not a lot of player movement, is there,
well,
in reality?
Well, let's hope we get a lot of player movement. Let's hope that it mixes up a little bit. And I think it has been, this is a little bit more holistically to get started. Let's hope that it is... it continues that, and there's a balance between who has the power. We constantly talk about who's holding the power. The clubs have got too much. The players have got too much rights to do whatever they want. So let's see how this plays out. But
what is the current, I guess, argument? Who's it for?
I think the players. I think as it currently sits right now, the power, and for those that like to use that word, is in the players' hands. Now, it wasn't that long ago, and there's been. I mean, this game and competition is littered with examples where it's worked really well for both. It's really good for a team to move it on. And I quickly recall off the top of my head that Trent Crowd story where he was coming out of surgery or was still under the anaesthetic that he didn't even know that he'd been traded. I think it was from Must have been from Freo back to Hawthorn, or maybe it was the first time we went from Hawthorn to Freo.
No, so I think because Freo gave up a fair bit for him, so yeah, it must have been
must that way. Back to, yeah, back so you hear Hawthorn. Those stories, but then, I mean, we even go back to the Lachie Neale one, and I still think there might be something to play out there. But what was it, 2 weeks ago that Lachie Neale wants to break a contract? Mm. You know, with 2 years to go on a you know remaining on that initial contract.
That,
so
that really happened, didn't it? Like when we'll use this phrase a lot in the next 2.5 weeks back in our day, but
makes it sound like we're dinosaurs. Maybe well, we are moving like a dinosaur.
That, like from memory, rarely did that happen. A player breaks his contract, right? So it's. Mm. Coming out of the contract, yeah, player movement. And it was probably less of then because there wasn't any free agency. But I agree with you that the power was definitely with the club in a sense that they kind of controlled player movement. And as we probably experience when we get older, you understand that the club will cut you off at the knees as you know as soon as it suits them. So
yeah.
As 18, 19, 20-year-olds, you're as loyal as you know your dog. So to the footy club, that is. And then as you grow up, you realise that there's only the most loyal people in football is the supporters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely agree that it's starting to shift in terms of or it has shifted in terms of it was club, now players. But I think now we'll see because the landscape's changed, salary caps, money available, those kind of things. I think the trend of the last couple of years has been long-term deals.
Mm.
And they're going to come back to bite a few clubs on the bum. So
I want to ask you more about that.
Yeah, we'll see a shift again.
Yeah,
I think. That
Kogan's mobile open line is 1300 23 55 48. Love to hear from you or text us through on 0419 187 323. How'd you spend your weekend? I know it's probably a limited question, but
yeah, no,
did you enjoy it even though it was completely different to, I guess, ideally how you like to spend your grand final long weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Well, one, I was at the in-laws, I had to pack up and move. But it was a real positive. My in-laws and even Rosie now, she's gone back to the other side. They're all big D supporters. So
yep.
I've kind of ridden the wave of the Brooks family in terms of the lack of success. They're very cynical supporters. Her dad in particular and her brother. Well, they ride the wave like a diehard footy supporter,
yeah.
The ups and downs and. But anyway, so it was great to see that. But it was sad in a sense. I said this to Rosie's dad. We actually sat in separate rooms. He's quite a nervous watcher of football.
Yep.
You can imagine him in a grand final. So
I think everybody is. I think even those, you know, you go back to last year, I reckon Tigers supporters would have been nervous. Yeah, they needed to win 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
I reckon, and maybe more the D's than anybody. And I think it would have been the Dogs going back 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It'll definitely be the Saints supporters that – there's this ultimate sense of excitement about the possibility about what could be, but there's that fear of failure within that as well, Beach, that you don't want to go too hard too early. And we were speaking to D supporters throughout the whole year and they're up and about winning, you know, multiple games in a row. It's like, hang on, let's keep a lid on it. We don't want to get too excited just in case that hurt.
There's no one in the middle. It was like Rosie's family. He said, they were like, I know they'll stuff this up.
Yep.
Like, yeah, they're going, they're 110 in the realm. They'll stuff
it's
it
like
up.
It's like a safeguard, isn't
yeah,
it?
And then the other side's like, we're flying, we're doing this, and we're top of the ladder. There's no middle ground.
I think there's a beauty within calmness. That. And I quickly try and, you know, compare it to a relationship that you have to be vulnerable, you know, for those supporters that are cheering, but you also want to protect yourself a little bit just in case you get that rejection to say, I knew we were going to lose. I knew we weren't good enough. Here we go again. It's not our year.
So,
but they were superb.
They were. And I was just going to say it was sad because I said I went and watched the last 5 minutes with Rosie's dad and had a beer with him. But their son was over in Northcote. Rosie is at our house with her mum. She came across to help out with the kids, so she's quarantining as well. But the whole family split up and they're big D supporters. They couldn't enjoy it together.
Yeah.
I said this to Bird. I said the saddest thing is that you can't enjoy it with one another.
Mm.
And that's the same with everyone else sitting at home. D supporters can't enjoy it with their friends. And so
but that's in a football sense. You think about the amount of things that people have missed to do together over the last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, we haven't done anything together.
But that's what footy does, right? It brings people together. And
yep.
As we know, being that's one of the biggest things we'll probably talk about it later is that stood out to me playing in grand finals is that really hit home in 2009, being a part of that first week, is that what football means to people and how it affects their life in good ways and bad ways. And so, it was sad in a sense, but it was great to see them get up because I think we're all kind of barracking for Melbourne, weren't we? Like it was their second team. It was a bit like that. I felt like that in probably 2010 more so that everyone was barracking for the Saints because they felt sorry for us. And
no, that you know why they were barracking for the Saints in 2010.
Because everyone hated Collingwood. Yeah, thank that's you. Right. So, but it was we were the kind of feel good story and lack
what
of success.
What about in
2009? Everyone
people,
hated Collingwood.
Who were people barracking for in 2009?
Probably Saints again.
Okay.
That weren't Geelong support. They'd had their time. They'd ran their
what
race.
About in 2016 when the Dogs beat the Swans? Who do you think people were barracking for? Just neutral supporters. Is everyone?
Dogs for sure.
You reckon?
Oh.
Do you reckon the majority of people are on the fairy tale story, even though it doesn't involve them and their football club?
Yep. Unless they've got some dislike for that club for whatever reason.
So can we start to dislike the D's now that they've won one? They're like everybody else and it's somebody else's turn?
Yeah, exactly. they've got the hoodoos
move
over
on.
The 57 years of pain.
On. Well,
as Gorney said, it's coming home. You can have it for a year now. Someone else
we're
going to
talk
year.
About this a lot more, but I can't see that team and that list going too far from where they have been in the last 12 or so months. Just really briefly and quickly, your take on the night grand final. Love to get some calls on this as well. 1300 23 55 48 or text 0419 187 323. If you want to talk about the visual aspect of it, Beej, what was your take on the second night grand final in 2 years?
I'm just all for the players. Like you said, the visual aspect, people's argument around it looks better at night. Well, who really cares? As you alluded to earlier.
What do you mean, who cares?
Well, who cares? It's all about the game.
It's not about the players.
And what
you and I are acutely aware that they are the pawns in
mate,
this beautiful
I understand that, but
puzzle.
It should be about the players.
Okay.
And I don't.
Well,
I don't,
let me just pose one
I
to
don't,
you.
I don't think it would matter for the players.
And I know players are different. So you've got, I was going to say 44. You've got 46 players, 23 from each team. What do you think the general feel or the percentage of players that would have wanted it a day compared to night? If you were a player, and take yourself out of it for a moment,
yeah.
What is the ideal...
If I was a player, take yourself out.
Yeah, good point. You are a current player. Yeah. What do you think the ideal time to play a grand final, but also keeping in mind any game, because prelims, the majority
all
of
night.
Finals have all been at night, except the grand final we're not allowed to touch. We want to go back to traditional Saturday afternoon football. What do you reckon most players these days want to play?
I think when you get to this pointy end and the two teams are participating, don't really care, I think.
Okay.
It's just, generally when you get the two best teams, they've got an attitude of any time, anywhere, anyhow. It doesn't matter. So they'll do what's needed to get themselves up for the game, you know, get up at a certain time, whatever those little details are, they'll just do it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it really matters for a player's perspective. I think there's, if selfishly, more time afterwards if it's a day game to celebrate.
You've got the rest of your life to celebrate.
Hey.
Go to Vegas and never come home when you're allowed to.
Yeah, we tried that. Had to come home. But, yeah, so I don't think there will forever be an argument, right? There's no – the only – you said it earlier, off air, it comes down to TV, right? Whatever's best for money will happen.
Yeah.
And I think the players won't care. They don't care. They shouldn't care. Because it's a grand final, but it's played on night, day, it doesn't matter.
Lockie's just sent one through on the text. 9:20 a.m. grand final next year, please. Surely.
There's a lot of time
game,
to celebrate after that.
A night game can get dead set stuffed. Lockie, I haven't heard that time slot.
9:20. That's like an under 10s game back in the day. Kicking the dew off the ground.
Another text has come through already looking after the Hawks. Morning, boys. With the Hawks' overflow of halfbacks, Hardwick, Impey, Giath, Sicily, Bramble and Day, would you look at trading one out to get another first rounder or just shuffle the decks and move a couple up the ground? Thanks.
We move straight into it.
There you go. There's a quick one just off the top.
Because I think a couple of those players are flexible and can play elsewhere. So Giath could potentially turn into a really good winger. Impey's played up the ground half forward.
He already is a good winger.
Well, he's played more half back, but yeah, Sis plays more that second, third tall. No, so they've got flexibility with those names on that list.
Okay. All right. We need to take a break. We're here thanks to Toyota. Certainly, certainty is a great feeling. Search Toyota certified. Beej, when we come back, I want to speak to you, and I've self titled this the Dells Dozen.
The self entitled nicknames and all.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental.